13. Exodus chapter 13. We'll begin this morning. So thankful to see everyone out with us. We've had a great week. Being able to spend the entirety of the week in the Word of God with Brother Mike Webb. So thankful for him and the efforts he put forth. And I encourage you to continue to think on the things that were brought out each night and in the day classes. Let us consider ways to put these things into practice that we might, as is our goal, better serve God in all that we do. This morning we're going to be talking simply about the concept of remembering. And when we think about the word remember, we reflect on the things that have taken place in the past. And just as we've observed here this morning, as we've already partaken of the Lord's Supper, we remember the Lord in His death. Let me ask you a question. Did you remember? As we were partaking the bread, as the plate was being passed around and you broke the bread with those who were here, did you remember the body of the Lord that was broken, or was your mind somewhere else? As we were partaking of the cup of the fruit of the vine, were you actually thinking and remembering the blood of your Savior, the Son of God, as He hung on that cross and He died for our sins? As we've sung the songs this morning, even the first song, Prince of Peace, Control My Will, were you reflecting on the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, was indeed completely our Prince of Peace? He is the one that brought peace between us and our God. Therefore, He is Lord. He is Master, and we let Him have control. As we were praying, were you considering the things that we were praying about and remembering that even the whole concept of prayer is made available simply because Christ is our mediator and our intercessor? When you think about it, we have met this morning to remember. You know, when we partake of the Lord's Supper especially, and it's going to be the focus of our talk this morning, for just a few moments, we think about the Lord's Supper. We commonly refer to the Lord's Supper as a memorial. We partake of the Lord's Supper and it reminds us of the death, the burial, and yes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Son, the Son of God and our Savior. We remember Him on this day because as we were partaking of the bread, which reminds us of His broken body, and the fruit of the vine that reminds us of His blood, we are able to see the hope and the victory by taking it on this day because He didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the dead. And it is His resurrection and His victory that gives us hope. And so we meet on the Lord's Day and we remember this. You know, it's important to be reminded of the things that are important to us. And I hope that this is something that is important to us because really this is at the center of Christianity. This is at the center of what we do and it's at the center of who we are as the people of God. We're thinking about this, the concept of memorials. We're reminded of the things that are important to us, and we remember those things because we don't want to forget, we don't want to devalue those things in our lives. And so we take pictures of moments in our lives, and we put them in books, or we put them on Facebook, or we put them on the wall at home because we want to be able to look back on those moments and remember. We put dates in our calendars that are important to us so that we don't forget our anniversary or we don't forget so-and-so's birthday or different things that are taking place. I want to show you some pictures just very quickly this morning, and I'm sorry, these do have me in there, but I'm showing you for a different purpose. This is, of course, you see Dan in there. Sorry, Dan, I didn't warn you about this. But you see me in the center. This was quite a few years ago. Probably, I think this was my first year in college. There's Kevin, there's me, there's Dan, there's Lee, and then there's Andrew. Show you another picture. This is me and Andrew. I never would have even remembered this until I was flipping through pictures. By the first picture, I wouldn't have remembered that either until I was flipping through, and it reminded us of our favorite restaurant when we were in college. This place called Roadhouse. It was a steakhouse, and it was so good. And we made a lot of memories just going out and eating there. But I would have forgotten that had it not been for the pictures. This was a get together that we had while we were in college, where a bunch of the guys we actually got together, And we cooked for the women, and we served the women as opposed to the way that it usually was. And when we got together, but I would have never remembered it until I was flipping through my photos the other day and I saw it. This next one is a photo of a little thing that happened in college where you can see Andrew on the right. This is actually my cousin Daniel on the far left, but we got together, we were playing some bluegrass music, and we did a show, completely forgotten about it. Until I pulled the picture back out. One last photo. You can see this is our wedding. Many of you were there. Dan on the left, Andrew on the far right. I show you these pictures for a very specific reason. Of course, Dan has always been one of my best friends, but another part of our trio was the person that you see in all of these pictures, Andrew Westfall. I met Andrew when I was in my freshman year of college, and we had just kind of all, just the handful of us, had become best friends. And me and Andrew lived together even after we left where we were going to school. First, we went to FC for 2 years, and then we transferred to Western Kentucky, and we continued to be roommates, and we were inseparable. I mean, we were brothers. We were just tight all the time. He was here. He flew from California for my wedding. Not long after that, I was blessed to be able to perform the wedding for him and his wife, Sharia. In about a month after they got married, he was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. In about, maybe, was it 4 or 5 months ago, Andrew passed away from cancer. But here's my question. Why have I not thrown these pictures away? He's not with us anymore. So why do I hold on to these things? Why, when you walk through my house and you walk through the hallway and you look on the wall on the left, do you see pictures of Andrew and me? You see pictures of Andrew in our wedding. Why, if you were to reactivate my Facebook account and you were to go through my photos, why would so many of my photos still have Andrew in them? It's because I don't want to lose those memories. Because they're important to me. And because they're important to me, I keep them, and I look at them, and I remember things that I would have easily forgotten had I just thrown them away. In Exodus chapter 13, I had you turn to Exodus chapter 13 because there's something so important that I think we need to remember about this day and why we were here. And Exodus chapter 13 takes us back to the very beginning, the very foundation of why we were here, the very things that started why we come together on the first day of the week and partake of the Lord's Supper. In Exodus chapter 13, and beginning in verse 3, if you follow along, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. In verse 3 of Exodus 13, then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord has brought you out from this place. No leavened bread should be eaten. Today in the month of Abib you are going out. And when the Lord, when He brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, which He swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. You shall tell your son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year. When we go to the Old Testament, and actually in the New Testament, when we think about the people and the scriptures they were reading from and their references back to the Old Testament, At the heart of the Old Testament is this amazing salvation experience of the deliverance of the people of God from Egypt. How many times do we see it referenced over and over and over again throughout the course of the history of the Israelites? The people had been in bondage. They had been they had forced labor inflicted on them very heavy for 400 plus years. At the beginning of the book of Exodus, we read of how the people finally began to cry out to God for help and for deliverance from this bondage. And it tells us that the Lord heard their cry, and He remembered His promise, and He had compassion on the people. And so He raised up Moses as a leader, and He put Aaron at his side, and He said, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him what I have told you, and I want you to show him what I tell you to do, what I've told you to show him. And Moses, over the course of a period of time, he goes and he tells Pharaoh. We have this cycle of Pharaoh saying, I'll let them go, but then he recants, he takes it back. So the plagues are inflicted on the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And eventually, the very last plague, the lamb is killed, the blood is smeared over the door. The firstborn of the Egyptians die, but all of Israelite is saved. And Pharaoh says, go ahead, and he says, you take your people and you get out of here. And so they flee and they go to the Red Sea, and God didn't just deliver them at the beginning when Pharaoh said, okay, go. But at the Red Sea, God gives another deliverance from the army of the Egyptians, and He spreads the Red Sea, and He dries the ground out, and they walk across, and He defeats the Egyptians. This is a huge thing at the center of the Old Testament. And God doesn't want the people to forget it. And isn't it sad that they would have? When you consider what took place in those days, and all of that God did, man did nothing. In those days, God did it all. He sent the plagues, He spread the sea, He closed it back on them, He continued to lead them by fire and the cloud. And God said, I want you to remember this day. Is that too much to ask? You think that was too tall of an order for God to make on the people, that I want you to remember how I saved you? No. It just makes sense. That to us is common sense. It's just logic. God does something like that for you. You remember that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we have another passage. It says in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, it's kind of a reference back to this passage in Exodus chapter 13. Very similar things, but it's now taking what happened and it's bringing it to its fullest, most full revelation in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened, because Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Turn over just a couple of chapters to chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So we were in the Old Testament, we were in Exodus chapter 13, and this salvation experience for the people of God at the center of everything there, which is referenced for the rest of the course of everything that we read about in the Bible. We come to the New Testament and we have its full meaning. We talk about types and antitypes all of the time, and one being a representation of what was going to be the real, genuine, sincere thing. We reference the Old Testament and we talk about how it was a tutor or a schoolmaster or a shadow of things to come. As important as the Passover meal in the Old Testament was for the people to remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 reminds us of the fact that Christ came, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and He made that perfect. Read through the book of Hebrews and you can see all of the references back to the old and all the sacrifices and all of the things that took place. But then Christ comes and everything is made complete. He is the better sacrifice because he does it willingly. He is the better sacrifice because it only has to be made once. It doesn't have to be made repetitively. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning in verse 23, notice what Paul says here. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" We gather every Lord's Day to remember. It seems like it's pretty clear in places like Acts 20 and verse 7 that the disciples in the early church, they were meeting every Lord's Day. They were meeting every Lord's Day around this idea of commemorating the Lord through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Instituted by Jesus himself before he was crucified. And now here we are still today. Partaking of the Lord's Supper. In an effort to remember. Why? To show Christ and his willingness to lay down his life for us is worth remembering. Isn't that what we declare? We come together on the Lord's Day and we say, "I'm going to keep this memorial before me. Because I know what Jesus did when he saved my soul from my sins and he transferred me from the domain of darkness and into the realm of light, and praise God for that, and I will not forget it. I will remember." Because to me it is worth remembering. And I'm sad to see that so much of the world today has downplayed the role of the church and the necessity of being committed part of it. And sadly, in so doing, they don't realize that they've separated themselves completely from his kingdom. But even thinking more specifically than that and toning in on a specific aspect, forsaking the memorial, thereby forgetting the power behind what Jesus really did. And really the reality of what we read about in Scripture is that you can't have Jesus without the memorial. And really at the heart of the issue, what we're dealing with this morning is so much of the religious world today says, "Well, we're just going to take it once a month so that we don't take it for granted." Because for some reason, we have this mindset that if we take it so often, it's just going to cause us to just lose connection with it and to lose touch with it. And we're going to take it for granted because we're taking it so often. We're going to just stretch it out a little bit further. We'll take it once a month. That way, we don't take the Lord's Supper for granted. But here's the reality. If we've started taking the Lord's Supper for granted, then there's only one thing for us to do. And it's repent. Because that's on us. God's Word is never to blame for our neglect. Could it be that there's a connection between a desire to remember less often and no longer holding Scripture as absolute authority? Could it be that maybe so much of the religious world is getting looser and looser in their morals and in their theology because we have failed to remember? And when we lose touch and we lose connection with the magnitude and the value of what Jesus did and accomplished on the cross, when we lose that sense of value and worth and accomplishment, because we are not remembering and we are forgetting the things that have taken place, then we just can all, there's only one place we can go. We can only go the way of the Israelites. When they stopped remembering the ways of God, they just continued to digress and digress and digress and digress until ultimately they found themselves captive by the enemies of God. It's almost like we're going through our spiritual house and taking all the pictures off the wall. And taking the memories off the walls and the tables and shoving them in a drawer and closing it. And the more we push out the memories, the more we push the people in them out, the more we push the reminders of Christ out, the more we push Him out. It's like we're taking all the pictures and throwing them away. Memorials, they're not always easy. As a matter of fact, they're usually not easy. I think that's probably part of the reason that we're scared of it. It's not easy seeing the pictures of the ones that we've loved who have passed on. Sometimes it's not easy remembering the memories and the times that we've had and the things that have been done and the things that we've enjoyed with one another. But I think we would all agree, though it breaks a sense of discomfort, it also brings great joy. Because remember the good times. We remember the good times. Now, thinking about the death of the Son of God, it's hard. We don't want to think about the torture that He went through for us. It's painful for us. It makes us feel guilty. But when we consider the fact that He didn't have to do it, that He chose to do it because He loved us that much, that He was willing to lay down His life, it brings us great joy, doesn't it? When we think about the fact that as He hung there on the cross and He was in pain and He was bleeding and so much ridicule was being thrown His way, false things were being said about Him that were not true. He was pure, He was perfect, He was blameless, and people were accusing Him of blaspheming. Could have been delivered from that cross by legions of angels as we sing in the song, 10,000 Angels. But He hung there and He died for you and for me. And so we come today and we have these emblems. The bread that represents the body of the Savior that He sacrificed for you and for me. The fruit of the vine that represents His blood that was shed, that provides for you and for me, sinners, cleansing of sin and freedom from the domain of darkness. I hope that we are all praising God that we have had this opportunity this morning to participate in the memorial that serves as a weekly reminder so that we might never forget Him and what He has done for us. I'm going to ask you some what if questions. What if, at the very least, and it needs to go so much further than this, but what if, at the very least, we treated God like we do our loved ones? What if, at the very least, we treated God like those who have gone, those who have passed, that we held dearly? Going through their things, we come across picture after picture after picture, but we don't throw them away because behind every picture is a memory that helps us to remember. What if we did that? What if we made a point to hold on to every memory of our Lord, to cherish it? What if we made a commitment to giving a higher value to the things that are meant to be reminders to us. Things like the Lord's Supper. Things like God's Word that tell us page after page after page after page about who God is, what God has done, what He is doing, and what He will do in the future for us, His people. That's pretty important. That's pretty huge. That's something we don't need to forget. What if we treated this as something we never wanted to forget? What if we cherished it? What if we valued it? What if we made a commitment to giving a higher value to things that so often it seems we take for such granted? Prayer. The songs that we sing. I'm not talking about the tunes or the melodies. I'm talking about the words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. This is a part we never need to forget that saved a wretch like me. I know where I've been. You know where you've been. And I think we can all concede that for us to hold on to the things that this Word provides for us and gives us hope for is something that we don't deserve. Are we remembering those things as we're singing the songs? Is coming together important? We come together, it's a reminder of who we are in Christ, what He has done as we participate in these different emblems as we worship. But our very coming together is testament to the fact that these things are important to us because of who we are in Christ Jesus, because of what He has done and accomplished for us. Even things regarding how we spend our time outside of this place. It's important for God's people to spend time together outside of this place. To be reminded of the fact that we are of one mind, unified, that we are a family. What if we valued the things that have been given to us to be reminders, memorials of Christ Jesus? You know what just might happen? We just might come to know Him better. If He doesn't mean much to you now, or maybe you've slipped or become weak, He just might start to mean something more. We just might grow to love Him more. Maybe those in this audience who have become weak, stagnant in your faith. You don't feel that your relationship with God is what it needs to be, and what it needs to be is the most important personal relationship that you have above your wife, above your children, above all. And if our relationship with God has become anything less than that, then maybe it's connected to a failure to remember, to value and cherish the emblems that have been given to us. We see the reminders all throughout Scripture in the Old Testament. There were altars set up to remember God's deliverance of a people in this place. At one point, the priest put tassels on, and those tassels were a reminder of the things that had taken place. The things were put in the temple, in the most holy place, and kept with the Ark of the Covenant. Why? That the people would remember. What if we made a commitment to valuing and cherishing the emblems that God has given us to remember? What just might happen is that our faith will grow and our love for God and for one another would grow. And isn't that what we want? Nothing less, nothing short of that. We want to grow in our relationship with God. We want to grow in our relationship with one another. Why? Because we reflect on some of the things that we learned this past week. There is joy, true joy, sincere, genuine joy, only found in one place, and that's in the Lord. And when we think about the promises that God has given us, despite the fact that we don't deserve them, we look forward to this heaven that God has prepared for us. It makes it all worth it. God promises this future home in glory. But He will only bring with Him there those who have not forgotten Him. And so, simply the lesson this morning was to encourage us to train ourselves to value and cherish these things more and to not look for excuses to excuse ourselves from these things. And to remember what much of the world is teaching is a failure on man. It is never a failure on God. But also, I want to provide just a couple of encouragements as I prepare for this too, to remember the emblems that God has prepared for us. When we come together and we remember, get your Bibles out and put everything else away. If you're using your phone for your Bible, stay off of Facebook. Stay off of anything that's going to distract you from doing what we're here to do. We're here to remember. And anything short of that is a failure on our part. Stop thinking about what we're going to do this afternoon, where we're going to eat lunch, what we're going to do this week, how busy we are. Stop thinking about what we didn't like in services today. Stop thinking about the criticisms that we may have, or why we would do things different, or why we would do this different. Stop thinking about our work. Stop thinking about our school. Stop thinking about shopping. Stop thinking about all of these things. We just need to stop and remember the one whose death gave us eternal life. And praise God for that. We're going to close with John 3:16, a passage that's very familiar to us all. John chapter 3, in verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. You know what's so amazing about Jesus? Is that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the central salvation act of all of the Bible, just like the Exodus was in the Old Testament. It's the fulfillment of it. A people held in bondage by their captors, and God brings freedom. And so God sends His Son because He is the only one who can fulfill this role. And essentially what God does in sending His Son to fulfill this role is He says, I want you to see, this is how much I love you. This is how much I want you with Me. Maybe it is that there's someone here this morning who is not with Him, who has failed to give, up to this point, has failed to give your life to Christ and to entrust yourself to the perfect Lord and the Master, the Keeper of your soul, the Prince of Peace. Don't put it off. As we've studied in Bible class with Brother Dennis in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, today's the day of salvation for all who will answer the call. Won't you answer it while you still have the opportunity? If you're here this morning and subject, we invite you to let us know by coming forward as we stand and sing.